Hello and welcome to the Odds Checker betting show. The Cheltenham Festival is nearly here and this is your Tuesday day one preview. I'm your host, George Ennick, and I have a sparkling panel of guests joining me for all four previews, all 4 days at the Cheltenham Festival. Firstly, over from Ireland is Johnny Ward. Thank you very much for taking the time, flying over here, staying at a nice hotel down the road at Odds Checker's expense.
It's a tough, tough life. Beautiful setting, beautiful people beside me.
Yeah.
Life's good.
Beautiful personality holding. Andy, as ever, ever present on these. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. Not too burnt out with too many previews. Nice and fresh.
Yeah,
raring to go here.
Good stuff. And Ed, I think you said you are quite burnt out, but we'll...
Oh, I'm not. I'm absolutely fired up. Yeah, okay. In a different kind of way. Yeah,
so fired up, ready to be burnt out.
Ready to be burnt out. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, by the Friday evening of the Gold Cup day, I'm burnt out. But no, yeah, it's my my time here. Absolutely love it, and it's all all starting to fall into place now.
Burnt out, trained by one Jessica Harrington.
There you go. Yeah. There we go. Now, you know, you're our man who's priced up how many the over and underline for every race at the Cheltenham Festival. So we'll be coming to you for that. But first, before we call on you, before we call on you for those services, you're also our weatherman because you live just next door to the course. So can you? You know, there's a lot of rumour and speculation, not just about who's running, but also what the weather situation is going to be, how much rain there's going to be next week. What have you seen? I'm saying this, if it's like really serious, you know, what have you seen?
What have I seen? look, essentially, it has rained for 6 weeks and hasn't stopped in Cheltenham. But the last week's been kinder. It was glorious blue skies and sunshine when I set off across the Cotswolds to get here. So it's, at the time of recording, officially dry to soft. Look, this could all be incidental by the time it comes to it. The crux of the matter is it's going to be a dry spell, and then there is rain forecast, depending on which of the 11 Norwegian or Norfolk-based weather forecasts you want to look at. There's anywhere between 3 millimetres and 17 millimetres hitting the track on the Sunday, 2 days before the festival. So to get the lower end of that, the ground's going to be drying back somewhere of a blend of good to soft and soft. Mm. Obviously, you get the upper end of that, then you're looking at soft to heavy. So a lot of guesswork. The one thing is for sure, we're not going to be having the inverted commas Edredon Blur spring ground rattling quick times. It's going to take some stamina of some sort. But as you say, there is a lot of guesswork in regards to that huge band of rain. If it goes 5 miles east, then you could be looking at substantially different ground conditions.
I have like major climate anxiety, and sports should be escapism, but it isn't when one of your sports is racing and the other is football, when the pitches have been really bad in Ireland. And when you're going racing and like the weather is just so erratic nowadays, and like weather forecasters are getting slagged because they're not forecasting the weather properly. The reason they're not is because it's getting more difficult. And this, we had a massive snow shower there the other day in Ireland that basically wasn't forecast. Two or three matches were called off, and the next morning all the snow was gone. So you have all these aspects to take into play. I do want to mention this though. Be very wary of the ground at Cheltenham this year, because we've had 12 months of rain like never before. A lot of
wettest February on record in the UK.
Exactly, and like it started in March of last year, so we've had like this 12-month period where you've had racetracks underwater. Huntington have had massive problems, for example, yada yada. So Cheltenham will not be like any other Cheltenham, regardless of what happens between now and Cheltenham on Tuesday. Even if they get three, it'll still have a very high water table. And with that uncertainty, just be wary of what you're doing. Watch the first couple of races, see what's happening, because it's not like any other Cheltenham.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, so be wary and wait and see with regards to the ground. Hopefully the forecast will be more accurate than the snow in Ireland. So we're going to get straight into this. We're going to go through the card on Tuesday. Before we do, just going to point you in the direction of the Odds Checker app. Download it, where you can find the best prices, bookie offers, free bets, place terms, crucially, for the Cheltenham Festival, and Andy, amongst other tipsters, straight to the app every morning of racing, sometimes even the night before when it comes to these major festivals. And it doesn't get much bigger than this. We'll start with the Supreme. Now, these are the non-runner, no-bet markets. So Ballyburn, who is looking increasingly likely will be taking up his entry on Wednesday, is still in at the moment as the even money favourite, but we'll see how that develops over the next couple of days. Mystical Power, 7-2. Tully Hill, 4-1. Firefox, 4-1. Jericho de Repenay is 7-1. Slade Seal, 8-1. Mr. Giff, 14-1, 16-1, bar those. And Andy, you know, your record with these novice hurdles at the Cheltenham Festival is very strong. That is in part because of your brilliant speed figures, which can unlock maybe what those of us just using our eyes can't necessarily see. It goes a bit deeper in. So who is your selection at this stage for the Supreme?
Yeah, Andy Bate, who compiles and does all our number crunching with the National Hunt horses, is someone I rely on heavily. He he would do all these and prepare them for us. And year in, year out, they have stood the test. Usually what's done a fast time pre-Cheltenham has always normally come on to do it and replicate it at the festival itself. And there's two standout time figures this season. There's actually three of them. One of them is Ballyburn when he won at the DRF.
Yeah,
that was a really strong time. Comparable with State Man, so you know he's run somewhere close to, you know, a grade one older horse. And the way he powered clear of what was a, you know, a stellar field, wasn't it? There's no getting away from it. Was a sign of a true champion. The dilemma which punters have had since and connections and all those attached to Willie Mullins is to try and give them still the best chance of winning this race. And perhaps, obviously, having a bit of a fallback as well on the 2.5 mile race. And based on the fact that Tully Hill is another strong time figure horse, he's actually top of our numbers based on his Punchestown run. And his only entry is here. They've also got Mystical Power, who looks to me anyway an out-and-out 2 miler. He's got a deadly turn of foot. You seem to think, and the market seems to be thinking, that Ballyburn will end up in the 2.5 mile race because that might be the easier option rather than take on Stabber Companions, Tully Hill and Mystical Power here. That'd be my way of thinking, and I think that's the way the market seems to be reacting in the last few days, although officially there's been nothing said, and we've got to wait till Sunday for it to be confirmed. So without Ballyburn in the race, it becomes a really interesting betting heat. Tully Hill is the quickest, but is he the best jumper? Which is a bit of a contradiction in terms. I don't think he jumped 100% cleanly when he won at Punchestown the other day. When he was good and he was long and he kind of trusted himself, he was pretty good. But there was occasions when he was just putting an extra stride. And he did that the time before when he won at Nace. He was always looking after himself. Mm. It's taken him a while, I think, to get confidence. I mean, he had no confidence. It was shattered on his first run. So I think he's still a work in progress. He can't afford to jump 3 or 4 hurdles badly here at Cheltenham. He's got to learn and learn quick. But if he does, then he's going to be a hell of a force because he does gallop and he stays and his times are good. By proxy, I think Slade Steele becomes a really value bet now. It looks like that Henry de Bromhead is true to his word and he's not going to take on Ballyburn if the word is that he runs in the 2.5 mile race. And he represents the Ballyburn form line. Mm. Unlike Tully Hill, he's a secure jumper. And the one thing about Slade Steele, and our numbers back it up, he's a very strong stayer at the trip. His two best time figures have actually come when he's run over 2 miles, albeit he's won a grade one over 2.5. So I think the De Bromhead camp would probably be wise to run him here. I think the 8-1 currently for him, non-runner, no bet, because he could easily switch, he's actually quite a good bet because I think he'll probably go off more around 5-6-1. Not a huge amount in it, but I think there's still some juice in his price. I'd be amazed if he's not in the first 3 or 4. Just on his overall profile, the way he is, the way he operates in a race. And the other one we've got a good time for is Asian Master. A horse that probably nobody's mentioned because he's amateur rider ridden. That's a little bit of a worry. I think the last amateur rider ridden race was horse in this race was Brown's Gazette back in the day. I think, was it Dermot Brown?
For an amateur, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be in the 90s. So he's got to break a bit of a hoodoo.
Forgive me, was Dunguib ridden by an amateur or did I?
Barry Connell, yeah?
Yeah.
He was either, was he conditional or amateur?
No, I might have had that wrong. Apologies.
I still remember that was one Cheltenham preview, like the night, we were here the night before and everyone was on Dunguib and it was such a bad start at the festival. But there was that Barry Connell, Brian O'Connell, rather, factor at the time. I can't remember if you were amateur. I'll actually check that. But he was amateur or conditional, yeah.
So anyway, Asian Master's obviously amateur rider, which is a negative of sorts, but he does get on well with the horse and he gets a tune out of him. But he's done a sneakily fast time when he won at Navan. He's actually up there with Ballyburn and Tully Hill, which would surprise a lot of people. I mean, he was 150-1 on the machine a fortnight ago, and all of a sudden he's like 30s now, 30, 35, something like that. So there's quite a few people that think he's going to run all right. So in summary, I think Slade Steele at the moment, 8-1, non-runner, I bet, is a good option. And I do think Asian Master will outrun his odds.
Asian Master 25-1 with Coral Unibet and Ladbrokes, the 8-1. For Slade Steele with a few firms, Skybet, Paddy's, Betfair Sportsbook and a couple of others as well. 365 have cut to 13-2 this morning, maybe a sign of things to come in that market. Johnny, this is a race where the principles are certainly dominated by the Irish. Who do you see as being the best time.
Yeah, when I got into Cheltenham, which was over 20 years ago, I genuinely felt patriotism when the tricolour was brought out, because we would maybe win a third, a quarter of the races maybe. So the changing of the guard here, I actually don't like it at all. I like the Irish doing well. And I remember being at Cheltenham in the way in the media room as they put up the figures and like you cheer, and all of a sudden it was like, this is triumphalism. And Britain having three horses at single figures on day one at the 5-day stage is disgraceful. Like, and this is a race that epitomizes it, because, you know, it's really strong. Obviously the JP's horse might have a bit of a chance, but we have strong novices here. I'm not going to go over it much more than what Andy said in terms of the two Irish horses that he mentioned, because I think we spoke about the ground. That's going to be a big factor. They've made the decision, looks like, with Ballyburn. Tully Hill is likely going to go from the front. He stays very well. Whether he jumps quite well enough is another thing. But for a horse with the pedigree of being by Galileo, that JP McManus somehow can send a National Hunt mare to Galileo is off the charts. He's done this with horses as far as Byerly Babe, so he obviously must have a good relationship with Coolmore. But Mystical Power, the turn of foot last day for a horse, again, that needs to jump better. He's going to be ridden completely different to his stablemate. I think between the two, one of them will win it.
Ed?
We haven't mentioned Firefox, unless we've got short memories. He did beat Ballyburn. Now, I'm no paddock judge.
Apparently not right, Denise.
No, remember Rikishi for the WWE? Well, I'm told Ballyburn like kind of looked like that in a paddock, like, you know, like me after the night out in the kebab shop. It was not strict fit at all. But again, that's hearsay. Firefox jumped beautifully and put him in his place, I thought. Obviously, arising on the back of a deplorable effort where there are excuses and he came back laying over 2.5. I mean, he's got to be in with a chance. Just two to mention quickly, on a massively strong view. I thought Teller the Name's interesting for Ben Pooling if we get the lower end of the range spectrum. The day he's won two Mickey Mouse races dotting up. The day he flopped in the Grey One at Aintree. He actually shared the car with Felix de Giles that day. And Felix de Giles said Aintree on the Boxing Day rode deeper than O'Toy, which was heavy.
Did he ride
in December?
July Flower?
He drove July Flower. Yeah. So it was just almost unraceable. Well, I mean, I think they did inspect it on the morning, didn't they? So if the 3 mils hits, not the 18, I do. This is a horse with serious gears, and I don't think he'd be a million miles away in a wide open Supreme. And just a pointer from a preview night the other night. I'm on autopilot with the preview circuit, but I can't remember. Someone from the Willie Mullins ex-jockey was on a panel saying they're not ruling out switching Il Antique back to 2 miles if Ballyburn goes 2.5. And given the way he's a strong traveller, and I don't think he always puts in at the end of his races, he got massively outstayed by Reed
Willie's
and Tommy
not having
Wrong.
That at all, yeah.
Yeah, so if he came back to 2 miles, I actually think that would be, out of the two, that would be the race he's had more chance of winning compared to the Gallagher novice hurdle.
If the ground is testing, he's a massive, big, strong horse. And massively coming into play.
He'd travel into it, but I would worry about the hill from him. So in short, I'm kind of, I like Firefox, but think he's a terrible price on the back of a deplorable run last time out. Tell Her the Name. If there's good somewhere in the ground, I think this is an unexposed horse of real gears. Those would be blunted by softer heavy. So telling the name asterisk with good. Firefox I like, but I'm almost loath to get involved with that 4-1.
Tell Her the Name, 16-1. And the 4-1 still around with just a couple of firms there for Firefox. The shorts 3-1 elsewhere, Bet Victor, Coral and Unibet. And you just had some meat on the bone with the Firefox there and the form line with Ballyburn. Am I right in saying that Ballyburn's figure at the DRF was a massive step up on what he'd done before?
Yeah. Yeah, his performance when he won the 2.5 mile race was okay, just average. I think we got something like a 58 time figure, which is below 60, which is, you need to be doing at least a 60 to be recognised as half decent. But then he went 73 at the DRF. That's a massive jump. The sort of like the average to win a Supreme would be somewhere between 70 and 75. You'd appreciate it when he won it. He'd done a 71 at the DRF. So we've got Tully Hill 74, Asian Master 73, Ballyburn 73. They're the standard. Firefox's best time figure actually came in defeat when he ran in the, was it the Lawlers of Nations?
Yeah. That's mad, because he was supposed to be very disappointing that day.
He's basically won two. The two races he won have been absolute crawls. Mm. The day when he beat Ballyburn.
That's why he beat him.
He just outpaced him from the back of the second last. And so he had the experience. He'd had a run, and Ballyburn missed the last, and he went away from him. So I think he's a bit of a red herring looking at that. I think, oh, he's a better horse than Ballyburn. I think Ballyburn would beat him 9 times out of 10 now, wouldn't he, to be fair? So he's just gone to a price where I'd be uncomfortable with him now because he hasn't produced it in a strongly run end-to-end gallop yet. He might do, but I want more than 3-1 with a might.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to the second race on the card, which is, of course, the Arkle. Marine National is out, so Elite Tom and Gaelic Warrior are currently the 4-1 joint favourites with a found of 5-1, not 50-1, sadly. Hunter's Yarn, 6-1. Quixelos, 13-2. JPR 1, 15-2. Fasal Vega, 8-1. My mate Mozzie, 10-1 and 20-1 bar those. Johnny, how are you seeing the Arkle post Marine Nationals being ruled out?
Post Supreme last year, you're like, it'll be between Marine National and Fasal Vega to win the Arkle. Neither is likely to run. I'm very underwhelmed by the race. My Cheltenham buzz was massively hit by that Constitution Hill Marine National double bubble during the week, and disappointing. This is kind of like a race that would be run in Ireland, maybe at Punchtown, where, yeah, it's a good race, but like Calixios could go off favourite. I tipped him up 2 runs back when he was sent off 15-2 and beaten 70 lengths. Maybe he didn't stay. And then at Naze back at 2 miles, he was much better the last day. He'd been off the track for a long time. For all that, I don't think there was a major problem with him. I'm just not mad on the race, to be honest. At a push, he let Tom, but this is a horse that Gaelic Warrior absolutely hammered at Limerick. He beat Found of 50 because I don't think Found of 50 wants to go this way. I'd have major concerns about that. He also tried to nearly run out at Leopardstown. He's a bit of a head the ball. I'd be on Fasal Vega if he ran in this for the reason that I think he has more class and has that hurdles form. I just think they're... I actually hate saying a preview nights or in anything I write. I hate saying I think, because who cares what you think? Back it up with facts. I just don't really have a strong thought in this race.
Ed?
Real muddling affair, isn't it? The old cliche of below par renewal is being bandied around, but that makes it pretty exciting. I've got the line at 11.5, it has to be said. So this is competitive.
We've got an aggregate 28 multiplied by all your over-under and see how close you are.
Well, yeah, I'll be
way
off.
You could be nailed off.
I can't have Elite Tom. I do worry. I think this is his two worst runs arguably have come at this track. And Daddy Mullin's insight last year saying he had a very hard race at the DRF. Of course, everyone took the Fasal Vega form line from the DRF literally last year. He said he just ran totally flat on the day. It's almost like he left his race behind. There's not a lot of him. I think it's a real effort for him. And he had a really hard race again at the DRF. And I just wonder whether Cheltenham's his track. There's a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, the two in here, I've backed JPR 1 at big prices. I think for a home team, he'll travel into it as well as anything. He might be a little bit soft. But this might be the type of year where it's a little bit of a rogues gallery in many respects, and that he might be able to get away with it. I think he's, by and large, a pretty smart jumper. He would have dotted up, wouldn't he, at the back end of last year at Cheltenham, apart from when he knuckled and went at the last. I think he'll be in the conversation as an each-way player. I do think the joker in the back is Hunter's Yarn, if he lines up. He's a little bit of an enigma. Again, he does throw in the odd stinking jump where he leaves a hole in the fence, but his raw form's not bad at all. I mean, he had a 140-rated past Doro absolutely stuff last time out. And you look at the run before that, he had 130 rated handicappers coming home in different postcodes. He's run to a pretty high mark, it has to be said. And this is going to be a fascinating with the old who runs and who Paul Townend's on. I'd imagine he'd be on Gaelic Warrior, but again, you'd be worried he ends up in the car park if he lines up here. This is a tricky old race. I'm JPR 1 each way. And Hunter's Yarn, I might look to try and get on side on the day. As I say, when he's got round, his raw form is pretty strong.
Do you think a win-only proposition given the...
I probably would. Issues. I might look to dovetail him with something, double him up with something on the day, etc. But I think JPR 1, he's trained in England. That could be a major worry on the day. But jokes aside, he doesn't have the back hurdle class of some of these, but he's a gorgeous horse who jumped really well around Lingfield last time out, just idled a bit when he hit the front.
Yeah.
He's my each way play at 15-2 or thereabouts.
And you've been a fan of JPR 1 for a while now?
I think he's one of the best jumpers in the field. I think with him, he's about as bomb-proof as you're going to get over fences around Cheltenham. I know he's fallen, so people think, oh, he hasn't got
more of a slip, wasn't it?
It was a gallopander shot wasn't it? Reincarnated. I mean, he was unlucky, wasn't he? He would have won that day. Although he didn't beat a lot, at least Humperbeek, who inherited the race, has proved that form's pretty good. And, you know, and he jumped really well at Lingfield. I thought he won with quite a bit in hand that day. he's smart, JPR1. I think if you're backing with him, you're not going to be watching the race sort of like on the back of your sofa, are you?
But this is what I'm saying. Founder 50 jumps to the right. Yeah. Gaelic Warrior jumps to the right. Hunter's Yarn, I think, could win by 12 lengths or could fall the third. Let's say Tomps run two blowouts at Cheltenham. It's a bit of a Quilixios. Do we take that last run on face value before that? As Johnny says, it was deplorable effort. It's a real mishmash of... My mate Mozzie's the other one we haven't mentioned, I suppose, who was behind the backside of Founder 50, wasn't he? And Gavin Cromwell's green-lighted my mate Mozzie. He was favourite for the Grand Annual coming here. He's a strong traveller. He'll be ridden cold. You imagine he'll be looking to pick up the pieces. It's a real mixed kind of dynamic to this race, I thought.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I'd be looking at someone a little bit strange if they said their banker of the week was in this race. Put it that way. I mean, there's no doubt, to my mind, the horse who's a clear standout, he's just a different gear to these. If this was right-handed, he'd win this easily, and that's Gaelic Warrior. The evidence is that he's not so good, definitely going left-handed. He's run really, reasonably well at Cheltenham. Let's not forget.
Placed on both occasions.
He finished second in the Boodles and an honourable second to Illetay Tom.
You can't have him after Leprechaun either way.
Don't think he was right that day. There was something about his body language in that race. That mistake was almost the excuse for Townend to not really put in maximum effort. He didn't get after him. He just almost accepted defeat straight away.
He was wrong because he was legless at the last. Like, he didn't even actually jump that badly right at times, and he was legless.
The difference between that run there at Limerick, the time figure we got that day, which was only comparable with Galopin de Champ in the last 10 years for a novice.
Oh. And I'd say his chase debut wasn't bad either.
Funny enough, his chase debut wasn't as good. But the Limerick one, when he beat Elletay Tom that day, and Elletay Tom went on to win the Grade 1 next time out, is the best form, without shadow of a doubt. As I said, if it was right-handed, you'd have your absolutes on him at 4-1.
But he wouldn't be 4-1.
Of course he would. He wouldn't.
Yeah. He'd be miles better than
that. It wouldn't surprise me if he jumped out, booked out and still was good enough to win this over 2 miles.
Johnny's thinking his head.
It's just when you think about the logistics of how turning this track is, it'd be so much achievement.
Well, he doesn't run off the track as such. And if you looked at every single hurdle he jumped last year when he went round the inner, there was hardly any adjustments at all. And all the way down the back at Leopardstown, there was hardly any adjustment. He actually jumped really straight. It was only when his legs were going and there was something wrong with him that caused that tendency. So,
like he's taken on what 29 horses at Cheltenham and he's beaten 27 of them.
Yeah, I mean he's an absolute world of the horse. And all I'm saying with Gaelic Warrior is it would not surprise me at all if he won.
I'd love if he ran in the race.
4-1.
I'd love if he did run it. It'd just be such a talking point. You're either with him or against.
Yeah, I think he's one of those ones. Like I said, as a numbers man, I'm like, I've got this so far clear. If he ever won, I'd be absolutely fuming myself if I didn't have at least a round of drinks on him.
The Patrick Mullins, Danny narrative around the Limerick race was, to me, one of the most compelling things that ever happened in racing. Just the whole antics of it. What Danny did, and to basically say, I'm going to win this race for myself. I don't care who I'm riding for here. I'm riding for my owner. I'm riding for the horse. I'm riding for myself. But Patrick is so adamant. This horse has to go the other way.
Yeah, getting back to the JPR1 conversation. I like JPR1, and if you've got fancy prices, I'm sure Ed has, all well and good. He's now 7-1. The one I quite like at a big price, I'm just going to throw him in from left field, similar to Asian Master, one that will go, where's he got that from? I think Master Chewy could run all right here, you know. He ran in last year's Ballymore, and he went well up to a point, but didn't stay the trip. He's an out-and-out two-miler. But you go back and watch that race at Lingfield, he got absolutely skittled at the first when Jello fell. His legs were literally taken from underneath him. He lost 10, 15 lengths. He had absolutely zero chance. He lost no further ground. In fact, he made it up. And he started nicely all the way to the line. But he beat Nickelback in an incredibly fast time at Kempton. And Nickelback is arguably one of the best we've seen over here, isn't he?
He went on
to win a Grade 1. It's just one of those funny races where you can make so many cases for Illetay Tom, Hunter's Yarn, and they're all very much in one similar boat. Mm. Whereas Master Chew is like 20-25-1 or whatever it is. So I'd probably play it like that. I'd just go complete wild card on Master Chewy at a big price, particularly on the day if they go 4 or 5 places. And I'd have to just
take a chance.
Just have to take a chance on Gaelic Warrior. didn't.
I mean, I was going to say presumably win only, but when you consider the form figures of 2-2, I mean,
I'd probably just, yeah, I think he's a. I think he's a.
That's the
all-or-bust.
Gaelic warrior alarm going on.
The Gaelic warrior alarm. Yeah, every time you mention him, it's like, no, don't bring me to Cheltenham.
He'll go off. He'll go off 6-4, won't he? Even he won't be anywhere near. I could see him being the plunge. He'll just be the crowd plunge.
Well, I mean, like, at this current, you know, we're recording this at 10 to 11 on Thursday morning, and he's the clear favourite on the exchange. There's money queuing up at 5.7, 5.8, 5.9. Like,
it wouldn't surprise me. Like, yeah, the kind of logic goes out the window a little bit sometimes. Yeah.
But also, when you consider, you know, he's available at 4-1 on run no bet, and he's 5.5 to back on the exchange. Like, you know.
It's a tough one for Paul Towning, because if you look at Leopardstown, he went, he basically brought him as far as he could right and didn't really mind that he was losing ground. Cheltenham, it's like what, you jump the second and you're turning violently left straight away. Like, it's, I don't know, I cannot see it. Because it's more pronounced, like he did, you watch back, and Patrick Mullins made a point of this, was like, because he was debating with people how bad, he does jump markedly right at times. He really does, if you look at heads on. Even Andy said at Leopardstown, I think the last one before the stand on the first circuit, he's still badly out to his right. I don't know, I'd love if you
I'd love to know what causes him to do that.
Yeah. But trainers can never explain this.
I do it when I bowl in cricket. Yeah. I jump out to the right, so I can. Me and Gaelic Warrior, obviously, you know, we've got similar temperaments.
I'm not
quite as quick as him, though. I don't think. but as you say, I mean, there is. I don't know. It seems to me like if you're happy to accept that Gaelic Warrior would be odds on if you're going the other way, and his form figures are 2-2 at the festival, it's got to be a case being made for the 4-1.
In my view, he lose at least 10 lengths. What are you jumping? See. You're jumping what? To 12 fences, is it? At least, like Ed's over unders, and this would be interesting. How many lengths will he actually lose if he completes, which is a big proviso? It'll be amazing if he runs in the race, because it'll make. I didn't even mention him. I didn't have him. I just don't think they should be running at Cheltenham. There we go.
On to the Ultima, the third race on the card now. Meeting Over the Waters is the 5-1 favourite ahead of the Goffer at 7-1. Chianti Classico is 8-1, Stumptown 10-1, Giovinco 12-1, Theatre Man 12-1, Trelawn 14s, Am I Right 16s, we've all been caught 16s. You know, we will cover a few of these in future, in the future shows on the other days. Some of these unlikely maybe to turn up here. Ed, what have you got for the Ultima?
Well, yeah, look, as a general rule, this is the one race the Irish don't get involved in. Is it Dundeera? Have I pronounced that?
Dundeera, yeah.
06.
Amazing, this.
Great. I watched that on YouTube the other night after the Antiques Roadshow had finished. Yeah, that was a brilliant, brilliant race that was. So I'm kind of two versus the field if they run again. Nothing's been confirmed. I think Giovinco's got a lot of upside off 1-4-6. For this race. I wonder whether he's the most resolute in the finish, but forgetting all that, you know, he had stay-away Faye, he was 158 rated chaser, in a lot of trouble with Sandown, and he jumped beautifully on that occasion. You know, he's getting here off 1-4-6. I know Connections thinking they've got Apple Away as well, or the same trainer has. So there's a bit of juggling to be done in the Lucinda Russell team, who's obviously won this for the last 2 years. If Giovinco lined up, I'd be interested. The general type of horse you want to win this is a novice. They've won half the last renewals. Or it's a Grade 1 winning hurdler who jumps like a snooker table, kind of masquerading in a handicap. You look at like Wichita Lionman, I think was 156 rated hurdler, won this off 1-4-2. Ben Salem was 156 rated hurdler, won this off 1-4-4. And Tom Paul, Tom Paul 2, 157 rated hurdler, won it off 1-4-6. There's a bit of a theme going on here. I don't think we've really got that in the field this year to that extent. Whereas I do think Giovinco is very unexposed. I'd be surprised if he wasn't better than 1-4-6 at some point, shall we say. The other I'm going to put up here, I keep your weather watch. If we really get some soft ground and Mr. Kim Bailey gives him the green light, he's got two horses who might run the entire festival and they might both run in the same race. Now, one of them is Chianti Classico, but I'm not with him at all. I think he ran very badly in the Albert Bartlett last year. Now, I know excuses and he had ulcers, etc. He's also got Trelawn, who I think is much more in the kind of Master Oates style. He is an out-and-out galloper. They've been holding him over 2.5 miles. When he goes up to 3, I am fascinated. He gets in here off 1-4-3. He's a novice. He wants off ground. And he's got an outstanding piece of form in here. When you go back to the December meeting at Cheltenham, where he had Ginny's Destiny three lengths ahead of him. That horse is now rated, 155. And he had Grey Dawning, a favourite for the Turners, or joint, more or less a joint favourite for the Turners, with Ginny's Destiny. He's rated 159, the highest rated novice chaser in this country. Only 2.5 lengths ahead of him. And he gets in off 143, basically over a stone lower than those two. And I thought that was an absolute cracking run on that occasion, it has to be said. He will really be suited by going up to a trip. If he's green-lighted, I know the kind of stable number one seems to be Canti Classico, but I wonder if they've got it wrong, personally. I think Trelawne will run a massive race on soft ground if he lines up. There's a lot of ifs there, but bottom line, if he runs, I'm backing him, and I think he will go very close.
Get that asterisk out.
Yeah. I think he'll go very close. So, yeah, you can go non-runner, no bet now, but just wait till he's declared. If he is, I'm on.
14-1 with most firms there for Trelawne, the one for Ed.
Well-handicapped, definitely well-handicapped.
Andy?
Yeah, funny old race, the Ultima. You know, there are lots of vintage clouds can win it. And, you know, you do get the odd banana skin result here, then everywhere. But there's also been quite a few winners from the sort of unexposed novices category. I think there's a really well-handicapped horse in this. I'm not really a weights and measures man, as you've probably gathered over the years. As long as a horse is, you know, not completely destroyed and it has a ridiculous mark, then all well and good. I can't understand how the handicapper dropped Apple Away to a mark of 137 last time. Certainly based on the numbers that I got from that Ascot race. That Henry's Friend race to Reynoldstown is sometimes a bit of a poison chalice to sort of Cheltenham Festival form, but I remember doing the circuit sectionals compared to Picdory, and I put the two races up on a screen like I often do and set them on from the winning line, and I could not believe the winning margin of, or the difference between Henry's Friend, Kilbeg King and Apple Away compared to Picdory. It was something like 20 lengths difference. From a grade one winning 2.5 mile horse who's reliable as anything.
It's whether she gets in, isn't it? She needs 11 to come out. Yeah. And I was going through it. She's going to be right. They've got Giovinco, so in theory, it could be 10 need to come out. She's right on the cusp of whether she gets in or not. That's going to be the problem. Well, they've left her in the national.
The weight drops hasn't helped, basically.
No, basically, yeah. I've got a feeling she's not going to get in, of which case.
Which will be a shame.
They've left her in the. I think there's 9 left in the national hunt chase. She's been left in there, and she's also in a brown advisory. But as you say, that's why I said the start piece. I think there's a lot of juggling with the Scudamore team because they're none the wiser at the moment as to who can run where due to the handicap marks.
If she got in, I mean,
should be bottom weight, basically.
I'd be more than happy to take my chance with her at that price. I mean, as I said, I think the Reynoldstown's a very good race this year. Ben Pauling's going to run Henry's Friend in the.
Well, funny enough, Corrick Rambler fell in that before coming on to win this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so
it's a tested method for them.
So, yeah. I think, you know, we'll get on to the National Chase in a second, but. You know, she's second to Grey Dawning at Warwick, and 18 lengths back in third was none other than Broadway Boy, who's rated 150, and his mark hasn't changed. And yet she's gone from 141 to 137, having almost improved on the figures that we've got. So
she
beat Making Your Mind Up by 30 lengths, who's won twice since. I just don't get how she's a 137. She's a Grade 1 winning mare off 137. They'd be praying she got in there because I think she'd go well. The other one to mention is El Dorado Allen. He's the opposite end of the scale.
Ed, I can't believe that's El Dorado Allen's your.
I know. What's gone wrong?
Yeah, that was like 4 or 3 years ago now. So right. that bridge has been burnt. Yeah,
I always thought you were a loyal guy.
But to a point.
Yeah, he's divorced. He's divorced. The paperwork's been tucked away. But I thought I thought he ran really well in the Hennessy. I think the Hennessy was a good race this year. Been loads of winners out of it subsequently. It's a strong time. He's run well at Cheltenham before. He's just the kind of horse I think will run well at a price. I'm wary he'll finish, I don't know, but if he was 6-7 places on the day, 25-1, I'd probably chuck a round of drinks at him. But I'll be very, very keen on Apple Away if she got in this.
Apple Away is best price 16-1. That is with Coral 14-1 pretty much across the board otherwise. And El Dorado Allen 25-1 also. With Coral, 5 places on offer from most firms. Johnny?
2 against the field here. I do love a good horse named Trelawne. Is, I think, named after Cornish hero Trelawney. And Meeting of the Waters is named after a place in Wicklow where two rivers meet. You'll see it in the photo here. It's like it's just absolutely beautiful. So there's a song called Meeting of the Waters about the Vale of Avoca. So it's good that we have a nice horse named after Meeting of the Waters.
It's like the view from your back garden.
It's a view at Huntington, actually. But so I was at Cork when this horse landed a big gamble. Was running in Patrick Mullen's colours. And I was taken aback by it because it was initially an 8-1 second in for Willie in the race. And Willie's other horse went out in the bet and didn't run too well. Meeting of the Waters then rocked up in the Paddy Power, which is exactly what Rockyaboya did, exactly what Rockyaboya did for Patrick. At this point, had changed colours to Paul Byrne. One great ride by Danny Mullins, was ridden kind of wide on the day, kept out of trouble, won very well, beat Panda Boy, rock solid form. If I always think if you're to bring a newcomer to racing to the betting shop and you try to explain things, you just couldn't. You're like, so he says to me, so how could you be tipping up a horse at 5-1 at Cheltenham, even though he was 14-1 the last day at Leopardstown and he unseated early? How can he be a 5-1 chance? I'm like, well, you see, it's the grand. So anyway, you go into this area. So JP McManus now. So the horse has had Patrick Mullins, Paul Byrne, and JP McManus as the owner in the space of a couple of months. And he's probably still well handicapped. He was so good at Leopardstown, very little experience. I like him. The other one is the Goffer, who was mad eye catching last year, obviously behind one Corrie Grambler and Faster Slow. Again, it wasn't Davy Russell's finest festival. I think it's the only time I've ever seen in a Commentin running smooth headway twice he travelled that well. He's a bit of a prisoner's luck, this horse, £2 lower though, Gordon Elliott. So I think Ireland actually will win the race.
And he won a challenge.
Yes, one day.
A charity race or something like that?
Yeah, so he warmed up for that. Forgot who rode actually that day. I was at Limerick as well, and he was a bit disappointed behind Jevray in the Limerick National. He hasn't run over fence since for a reason. And as Andy said, he's ready for this now. £2 lower is a big eye catcher. That Corrie Grambler form last year is ridiculous.
Meeting of the Waters 5-1, Sky Bet Hills, BetMGM, BetUK, and 888. The Goffer 7-1, and that is with 365 and Unibet. On to the Champion Hurdle now, where State Man is the 2-5 favourite ahead of Lossy Mouth at 7-2, Irish Point 9-2, Pied Piper 16-1, America Lord, who was supplemented yesterday to replace Constitution Hill for the Nicky Henderson team, is 16-1, Zarek the Brave 16s, Not So Sleepy 16-1, Lashir 20-1, Nemean Lion 22s, Echoes and Rain 25-1, Colonel Mustard and Love Envoy 33-1 and 50-1. But before we get into the preview of the Champion Hurdle, just time to tell you about Odds Checker's free to play bingo game for the Cheltenham Festival. When you play the game, you'll receive a bingo card full of horses racing on each day at Cheltenham. You'll then win prizes as your horses win or place in the races. The top prize is tickets to the Grand National Festival, and all you need to enter is an Odds Checker account. So sign up or log in and play for free. Champion Hurdle, let's not waste any time talking about Constitution Hill and, you know, any of the narrative around that, Andy. But let's look at this as a pure betting heat. State Man, 2-5 favourite. If it wasn't for Constitution Hill, we'd be seen probably as one of the strongest favourites for the Champion Hurdle in recent years. Can you pick any holes in State Man's chances, or can we find any value elsewhere?
No, this is a proper sort of Richard Johnson moment, isn't it? To step out to the limelight behind Tony McCoy, having played second fiddle for so many years, and State Man's the same, isn't he? He's going to get his day in the sun here, you would have thought. He's just a brilliant horse. Actually, it was funny because we got him running exceptionally quick times this season. Mm. More to the point, we thought he's actually like he could actually beat Constitution Hill. So even though
would have been unbelievable lost, each way. I mean, were you one of those who took the each way
you know thievery? I was staring at it for months and so I was didn't I. Do it like a fool.
I backed every other horse.
I know. It was one of those.
That's the beauty of non-running no bet as well. Like. Yeah, I've said this a million times. You take out like a 2-5 shot and you're still on at the price.
Yeah. It's good. Good.
I didn't do
good thought. No, good thought behind that. But anyway, look, he is what he is now. He's what 1-3 or whatever. Look, he will win. He's just a different class of these. But there is a bet in the race. There's going to be other opportunities to back something place only or without. I do like the without the favourite markets in this because I think it's fascinating how other connections and jockeys go about trying to obtain the best possible finishing position. Zanahir, for instance, I mean, there's no way he should have finished second last year on ability, but he did because he's ridden. Not like Twisson Davis, who went off in front on. I like the way you think. I like the way. Who did he have?
I like to move it.
Thank God we got there. Hallelujah, we got there in the end. He went off in front trying to win the race and trying to disrupt the race. But in doing that, you end up being a sacrificial lamb, and that's exactly what happened. So being as Zarek the Brave is second or third down on the pecking order here. He's not going to be anywhere near Stateman early on, and he wouldn't mind if he kind of like followed him home. But he's a good horse, Zarek the Brave, and he comes out pretty well on our figures based on his handicap form in the likes of the Galway Herd, etc., etc. He's a similar kind of horse to Iberico Lord in many respects, a top-class handicapper. But he did beat Tell Me Something Girl in a quick time last time out. I love the way he got home that day. I'd always had him down as a bit of a soft touch on heavy ground, but he was really, really good at Navan last time out. And I think he'll be ridden, like I say, quite chilly, and that might help his prospects of finishing second or third at the very least. So in the without the favourite market, of which there isn't one yet, unfortunately, mm-hmm. I've been waiting for that market to open up. You know, come on, bookmakers, it's, you know, we've had the
Well, the without Constitution Hill market was open for about 2 months. So
yeah, there should be a without the favourite market now on this.
Yeah.
I cannot believe there isn't. I would probably predict, based on where he is in the win market and who will be ahead of him, like Irish Point, Iberico Lord, Not So Sleepy, blah, blah. He'll be something like fourth in on that market, which probably be around the 6-7-1 mark. So that's my recommendation, to back Zarek the Brave each way without the favourite on the day, or close to the day when the market comes out.
Hopefully, if you're watching or viewing this, or listening to this, I should say, a bit later than Thursday, that marker will be up. Zarek the Brave, the one for Andy, but not taking on the favourite in State Man. Ed, can you make a case for against the favourite?
Yeah, no. But exactly the same logic in the without market.
Yeah.
Pied Piper, each way. Form figures at Cheltenham, 1-3, 1-2. I see the quote Gordon Elliott the other day.
Really,
saying they may just roll the dice in this. He'll be ridden totally cold. Mm-hmm. He'll be ridden to finish second. So he's been to Cheltenham four times. He's yet to be out of the three. Be there or thereabouts. He loves the place. He'll travel into it well. And I say he will be, there'll be a burn up front. You know, Irish Point's going to want to be ridden forward over this trip. Not So Sleepy, he'll go off like a 7-furlong sprinter, et cetera, et cetera. Again, I think for they're very similar horses, I think, in the way Zarek the Brave and Pied Piper, I think they'll be ridden cold to pounce. Mm. In short, not a race that I'm bowled over with enthusiasm from a betting perspective. State Man should win by default, and I think Pied Piper can chase him home.
Pied Piper, the one for Ed. Johnny?
Just had a flashback to our preview night last year, which took place at night, and mm-hmm. that played in with the fact that I met a couple of lads.
You got a WhatsApp group, haven't you, with the lads?
Yeah, Northern Dregs and one from Ireland, I think we call us, because two lads from North. But I laid the distance in the Champion Hurdle, and Constitution Hill, I think it was 3.5. What did he win by, 9? Mm-hmm. 10? So, but anyway, we've been in touch ever since. But I actually don't feel that Stateman was at his best that day. Like, he jumped right at the second last. He didn't really immediately pick up, and he didn't beat Zanahir by that far, and Zanahir was really optimally ridden. He's been sensational this year. I'm putting him in a double with El Fabiola. I don't really see an issue with that. The race itself, mare's races are an absolute joke. To have them at Cheltenham is a joke. Lassie Mouth should be here. Make it interesting. If Dawn Run were around today, she wouldn't have had a Champion Hurdle Gold Cup double. She'd be running mare's races and nobody even remember her.
Yeah.
Right? And like, so mare's races are actually like, these are three races out of 28 where if you just happen to be a male or a gelding, you can't run in them. It's discriminatory. So, like, it's nonsense. And it makes all
these extra races just basically facilitating ducking and diving, aren't they?
Exactly. And they're facilitating. Funny enough, the more races you put on, the stronger gets stronger. Willie Mullins has more races to win, like the mare's races. And the weaker get weaker because they can't compete with all his ducking and diving here or there. Lossie Mouth should be running this. I'm kind of with Ed. I put up Pied Piper without. He's only 16s in the win market at the moment. In a race, he's almost no chance of winning. Irish Point, as to how he'll be ridden, I'm not sure, because he does stay well, but he actually travels really nicely. And Iberico Lord put into the race makes sense as well. Colonel Mustard, actually, they kind of fancy him to run into the three. It's disappointing, but I still feel Stateman isn't a bad price. I can't see me beat.
Well, let's go straight over to your favourite race, Johnny, the Mare's Hurdle. And Lossie Mouth is the 8-15 favourite, Ashford Diamond 7-2, Marie's Rock 12-1, Love Envoy 14-1, Echoes in Rain 16-1, Golomar Sow 16-1.
Well, funny enough, I don't have a bad record actually in this race, which I just have no time for it. It's like, put mare's races. I mean,
discriminatory sympathiser.
What's that Harmonia Maker? Like, I was just making up. She had like the opportunity to run in 5 or 6 graded races for mares over the space of like 2 months. It's like, that's grand. So that's promoting the idea of buying mares who you've raced for them. Not at Cheltenham. Cheltenham's about giving a mare an allowance to take on the geldings like Honeysuckle did, not throwing them into these stupid mares races that invariably involve an odds-on shot like we have here in Lossiemouth. She should win, but I'm actually not mad on her price. She's obviously stepping up in trip. I'm going to give a mention to a horse here at a big, big price, and that is Lantry Lady, who is a hard one to assess because when she was run 2 races, both of them are at Gorn on desperate ground. The first day she beat Silent Approach, the proper good mare over fences. She beat her first time out by 14 lengths when Henry de Bromhead said he felt she needed the run. The last day, I put up What's Up Darling at the prices because I thought the market was wrong. She's been off for a year. They've a tongue tie on her. They don't know what they're doing. She wins by 9.5 lengths. She's an extremely able mare. If she rocks up in this race, a race that obviously means something to connections, and she's 25s, I like her each way. I've no idea how good she is. And Magical Zoe, who's obviously named after my missus, just throw that out there. Her name is Zoe. She'll obviously be back in her, so she's going to do me.
She goes for the county, I think, yeah.
So we'll do the double then. But Lantry Lady, different ground. She's a load of ability, this mare. And if they rock up, given that she's a future, I'd be taking the hint.
Lantry Lady, 20-1, with Bet365, William Hill and 888. Andy, what can you know, both Lantry Lady starts on heavy ground, which might in itself be some kind of an angle if more rain falls than forecast or the top end of the forecast. What the times say for her runs?
Fairly healthy, actually. The Gowran run was standout on the card. Quite surprisingly as well, because there's only 4 runners, but was it Doing to Win?
Doing to Win went off. Was beaten, I think, 103 lengths or something.
Yeah, and he actually traded odds on it, but in Doing to Win, they were that far behind.
Yeah.
But I was really taken by her that day. Not only on the clock, but as a physical specimen. Mm. You know, she looks a brute of a mare. It'd be interesting to see which of the 3 Henry de Bromhead's A run, but which one Rachel Blackmore will ride. Mm.
What Andy says as well, if you own this mare, given her background, brute of a mare, do you run her again? Do you save her? So I'll be on that run, no bet.
Yeah, I think that at this very moment in time, that's probably a wise policy. But I think Tell Me Something Girl could outrun her odds here. I'm hoping Zarek the Brave will run really well in the champion because that time figure, Nace, was really good. And Tell Me Something Girl, I thought, stuck in there quite valiantly, even though she was beaten by a quicker horse in the day. But her record here at Cheltenham's pretty good. Obviously, she won the mare's race early on in her career. She was going well in this race 2 years ago when she got brought down. And Henry de Bromhead's been quite upbeat about her prospects. So, again, a 20-1 or maybe more on the day in the without the favourite market, because I think probably Lossiemouth will win, she will become a reasonably enticing prospect.
So that's 2 at 20-1. Tell Me Something Girl, 20-1 with most firms. Ed?
I mean, is Lossiemouth guaranteed to stay?
No.
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 Like, if we get 70 millimetres of rain, soft or heavy, she looks all speed to me. I've put it this way, of all those in the same price bracket, State Man, Alfabiolo, Lossiemouth, she'd be the one I'd be least excited about at the price if I was going to weigh in on something, which is not my modus operandi. But I just thought it was fascinating listening to Willie Mullins' comments here about Gala Marceau. Now, she ran an absolute stinker last time out in bottomless ground. I was waiting for the ground excuse and this excuse and that excuse. And Willie Mullins, very unlike him, came out and said, look, massive trainer error. I apologise for this, I've totally messed up her training routine. And he was in fascinating insight, say, after a Doncaster run, he essentially said he'd been fooled. He thought that got a perfectly fit and strip fit. And he said almost when they got there on the day, he was wondering whether he'd left her a gallop or two short. Now, his view is, yeah, he'd messed her up. And he says, if she comes to the Cheltenham Festival, mark my words, I've got the training routine sorted, i.e. she just was totally undercooked. He'd obviously backed off of massively from Donny. She travelled well to a point in heavy ground, but she fell in a hole.
I was on a WhatsApp group that day, and the lad slated me, perhaps rightly, and I was saying after race, you cannot back 2-7 shots on this ground at the moment. It was that bad. And if you add in that factor, I'd completely
It's not mine, so it's Willie Mullins. So it's fascinating to say that he just basically, she ran it Donny, and he left her in a stable. He thought she'd come out, she's fit enough, she'd dot round and win. And Paul Towns said, suddenly the petrol gauge came on. Almost that would have brought her on fitness-wise. Now, I don't know whether she's going to run or not, but she wasn't all that far behind Lossie Mouth in the Triumph, and arguably she was gaining at her on the new course over 2-1. 2.5 here. And I actually spoke to Danny Mullins last week. When he doesn't think she wants soft ground, he's of the view of better ground would actually suit her for all that. Her form in France was on deep ground.
That was in May, though. This is the thing. It says very soft in the toy. That was in May.
It was not at all, was his words.
Yeah.
He says he would have called that yielding in Irish terms. And the form of that race, we've mentioned out at the Brave, he was absolutely pulverised behind her. She took off. I just get the feeling, convoluted way of saying, I think she was 40% last time out. The ground's not that bad, and she runs. I think she's an artificially big price now for a training mishap, if you like. She would be my each-way player. I think she can... I think over 2.5, she could give Lossie Mouth quite a lot to think about. If you can get her back to that form of last year, obviously she beat her at the DRF, albeit in fortunate circumstances. I don't think she's a million miles away. She was just staying on, what, length and a half behind her. I think Lossie Mouth is all speed. So I'm kind of Lossie Mouth to beat Gala Marceau would be the kind of angle I'm in here. I think Pete Gala Marceau is entitled to be, well, as she was, kind of at least half the price she is now.
It's a very good case.
I'll leave it for you guys at home to decide who's made the best case for who to back in the without Lossie Mouth market, or even given all
just
three
each way, yeah.
All three of the guys have doubts, maybe just each way.
You might get a 16s or there.
You might also get a bit of each way, I mean, depending how many go in the without market.
She might not
as
run,
well.
But yeah, we'll see.
But Gala Marceau, 16-1, yeah. 365, Paddy Power Hills, and a few others to go with. Tell Me Something Girl and Lantry Lady, both at 20-1. On to the Boodles Juvenile Handicap now, where Lark in the Morning is 5-1, Batman Jirac is 7-1, Milantino 8-1, Ndawi 8-1, Woodhoo is 10-1, Liari 11-1, Eagle Fang 14s, Asep Partia is 14-1, Miss Manza 16-1, Nara 16-1, Cossack Chak 16-1, 20-1, bar those. Andy, how do you see the Boodles at this stage?
I was fascinated by how a couple of horses have been ridden with a view to coming here. Batman Jirac was one of them at Leopardstown when it made an eye-catching bit of late progress to finish a never near a fourth behind some good horses. Looks like this is the target for that one. And Joseph O'Brien's horse, Lark in the Morning, the lesser spotted Lark in the Morning, who I think has been declared to run about 4 or 5 times in Ireland.
17, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Since it finished third last time out. But hasn't run because of the ground. I think it's probably they're probably right in some respects. I think it's going to be a better horse on better ground. He's very, very interesting, Lark in the Morning. He's had, if you go back and watch all his three runs, I think they've been quite happy with where he's finished, put that blunt mildly. Away from those, Eagle Fang actually comes out of a very good race with relation to the winner of this race. I think 4 of the last 5 winners have either won or been placed in that Navan hurdle. Jazzy Matty won it last year, and he was 4th or 5 in that Navan race, and Eagle Fang won it, and the time was really healthy. I remember going back and getting the figures off Andy and doing the work on the race and thinking, oh God, this is a fair horse, this Eagle Fang. He didn't face the cheek pieces which they put him in the time before at Leopardstown, but he'd finished 3rd to Nürburgring early on in the year, and that's one of the strongest time figures we've got for a juvenile, that Nürburgring. We'll get onto him in the Triumph later on. So I think he's running against some good horses, some good company, and he comes out of one of the key trial races. And I noticed that William Durkin had another winner the other day. So the yard's in good form, and he'll like the ground. So I thought Eagle Fang was one of the ones that is less sexy, but you're getting sort of 14-1 for him.
Yeah, 14-1 is available with Hills and 888 and Live Score Bet for Eagle Fang. Johnny, this is all about, you know, what have you heard on the ground in Ireland? Because it feels like there's quite a lot of talking rather than form that's gone into the prices of some of these at the top end of the market.
Yeah, it's the 20th renewal of the race.
Wow.
Which is mad, because this is the one race that they added that I love. Mm. There are over 50 entries in it in a four-year-old. It's the only handicap for four-year-olds. That's it. You either run in the Triumph or you plot for the Fred Winter. And I love that. I also... Tinley Vale back the first winner. Dabaroon ridden by Nina Carberry.
You must have lost money on price.
I backed Gaelic Warrior off, 129? I actually didn't, but he was beaten in the race of 129. I love this race because obviously they're lightly raced. The horse that Andy mentions,
Eagle Fang.
The one worry I'd have with him is he seems very sort of ground-reliant, free Eagle horse, loved the ground the last day, travelled great on heavy ground at Naas. But Lark in the Morning for me, I'm just... They've scratched this horse, I think, four times, three times because of they declared him the last day on the most unraceable ground with, I think, rain forecast. I was like, why are you declaring this horse? You can't run him, or what is the point of this? I don't know if they were entirely sure what weight they'd get going into the Fred Winter. They've gotten 122. He's 18 in on the ballot. A horse that won over a mile on the flat, but clearly stays. They said, and the words of JJ Slevin, we initially thought this horse was going to be top class. If you watch his runs the last day, if they thought he was top class, I don't believe that he's regressed to the extent that he's not going to win off 122. The other horse I'm going to put in, one of the most bizarre profiles for a horse in the Fred Winter possibly ever, is Milan Tino, who made the running the last day, made the running for a JP McManus horse. I'm not actually sure what their aspirations I'm not actually sure what the narrative in the race was, but he made the running at a strong pace. Obviously, it's the strongest four-year-old race that we've seen this year because Sergino run it. But I'm tipping a horse in the Fred Winter who's been dropped 10 pounds. Yeah. 10 pounds. I'm like, okay, if this horse were trained by Willie Mullins and he did the exact same thing, what would you have done, handicapper? Like, it is so transparently, this is a British versus Irish thing. Because basically, I think Noel George is like, oh, we're going to go wherever, we're going to go on our holidays. And then I was like, oh, he's dropped him 10 pounds, let's go to Fred Winter. So this horse, he went off too hard the last day, but his form ties in with Burdett Road. The key to this race for him, I think, is how testing the ground will be, because he's out and out national hunt bred horse by Milan. But his two runs are very good. I'm not exact. Ed might know more than me what he actually achieved in Otoy. But to be dropped to 126, he's probably going to be about 10s on the day, 5-6 places. Fascinating runner.
Well, it is. The British handicapper believed the French handicapper was way off, and as readjusted him to 126, which,
and you can make a case for it.
Yeah, you can, but it looks a bit of a gift. I reckon this has been the plan for a long time. They've exclusively brought him just to Cheltenham to get experience at the track. And as you say, he's finished third behind Burdett Road and on Bredon Fazer, I think.
Bredon Fazer, that's salmon of knowledge.
Yeah, there we go.
Like me.
Absolutely. And that's gone on to win again since. And then third behind Sergino, who's odds on for the triumph, and Burdett Road again. It's very good form, and he's got £10 off his back for it. So.
And he's actually rallying to almost get up for second, despite the fact he made the run on the last day. He's closing all the way to the line.
I think soft ground boodles, he's definitely in the top nine places or whatever your concessions are on the day.
Yeah, 8-1 for Milan Tino, best price at the moment. That's with Coral 7-1 with most firms. Anything else to add, or is Milan Tino?
No, Milan Tino, I've backed him. I'm looking forward to seeing him run.
Are you with me on that? It is a cracking race for Fred Winter.
It is, in
my view. Because a lot of horses just wouldn't run in the Triumph.
Everyone always says it detracts from the Triumph, but all it means is there are 10 no-hopers not running in the Triumph,
exactly.
Rated 126.
So, I like it anyway.
Well, we could probably have a chat about the merits of the final race on the card
as well. Do that one during Royal Ascot. I'll be buzzing for it.
The National Hunt Chase now, where we have got Corbett's Cross, who, of course, was unfortunate, and for backers last year, you know, this is a chance for redemption for Corbett's Cross, I say.
Backers the last year as well.
Yeah, 15-8, best price at the moment across the board. Embassy Gardens, 9-4. Salvador Ziggy, 9-2. Three-car Bragg, 8-1. Meeting of the Waters, 8-1. 10-1, Kilbeg King, 16-1, bar those. This looks, you know, again, a race that has its detractors, but this looks like a decent renewal, Johnny.
No. This is funny. This is a race that was always there, but they could actually just get rid of now.
Yeah.
It's a 3-mile-6 race for horses who are probably slow, but not quite slow enough to win the RSA. And they've meddled with the race so much that it's become a nothing race, really, for me. I've actually, funnily enough, one of my bets in the meeting is in this race, but I still think like it is what it is. If they ran at Ferry House, as they did when Corbett's Cross was 1-4 behind Velvet Elvis and the Clatterier the last day, I may or may not be bothered to turn up and watch it. Corbett's Cross was sent off 1-4 that day. This is the problem with riding a horse as Derek O'Connor did that day in a 1-4 race. He rode him absolutely cold. There was no gallop. And a horse just kind of collided into him and knocked him off his stride. It's not an ideal prep. Now, I was doing the race TV coverage that day, and I was saying after the race, this horse has gone out to 7s or 8s for the race. Like, that's insane. Like, he just was knocked over. But I actually don't think he's going to stay. For me, in the novice race last year, I don't think he was beaten stay away, Faye. And he's one of his best races was actually that Nace race was 2 miles over hurdles back in the day. He's a very good horse. There's nothing really to say that he's going to say 3-6 here in a race that's obviously going to cut up.
Do you not look at the connections and like in terms of the trainer Emmett Mullins, someone who's
well, I'll bring Andy in on this. This horse is campaigning.
He beat Founder 50 over 2 miles, didn't he?
He beat Founder 50 over 2 miles at Nace, beat him ahead. Brilliant race that. When he wasn't kind of long developing post his previous trainer. Same pathway as Meeting of the Waters here. Exact same pathway, except that Meeting of the Waters is with Willie. But this horse could have run in that. What ended up being a 2-horse race at Leopardstown at the Dublin Race Festival ended up being a 1-horse race. Gaelic Warrior didn't perform. And instead, they went for a 3-mile race. For Derek to ride him at Fairy House when they could have gone for a Grade One. I was like, So do you want to win a Grade One at the Dublin Racing Festival or go to Cheltenham for kind of a nothing amateur race? But that's the mentality of Cheltenham in Ireland anyway, where it's like it's still everything.
Everyone gets blindsided.
They do, except actually Paul Nicholls, weirdly enough. But anyway, so for me, he's not. Now you could say MC Gardens is in a certain state, but the last day he won over 3-1 at Nace, really testing track, bolted up. Embassy Gardens will win this race, and if he doesn't, Salvador Ziggy will, who's a beautiful horse, but would want the ground to be as good as possible. I'd be mad against Corbett's Cross, so Corbett's Cross will obviously win.
Great to hear that one of my only antipost bets has been just slammed by Johnny there. Embassy Gardens 9-4, Salvador Ziggy 9-2.
Maybe they'll go so slow as they did the last day, he won't even need to stay, but it's a major worry for me.
Ed?
No strong views on this. I'm just... This morning, I think Henry's friend, the Reynoldstown winner, is going to run for Ben Pooling. That's been confirmed.
Will Biddick. Will Biddick.
Will Biddick's going to ride Kilbeg King. Jack Andrews will be
Andrews
on board.
Yeah, sorry.
If there was an absolute boil over and we get real heavy ground, a very poignant winner would be Mr. Vango. Obviously, Mark Bradstock.
Someone's backing Mr. Vango this morning.
Well, Mark Bradstock obviously passed away. Will run officially, be saddled by his wife, Sarah Bradstock here. Look, won the Devon National last time out. Won it by 60 lengths. I mean, the jockeys are wearing 9 pairs of goggles. It's almost unraceable, but he's that type of horse. You know, the horses in here on official ratings, if he was meeting them in a handicap, he'd be getting a stone from them. I get all that. But 3 miles 6 against possibly a couple of doubtful stayers, you know, Salvador Ziggy might not on the ground. Corbett's Cross doesn't quite get home. This just becomes a war of attrition over 3-6 on softer, heavy ground. There won't be many kind of plodding on the same pace as him. He's the outsider of the field, more or less, at the moment. Again, another asterisk job. Not a race I'm mad keen on, but on soft to heavy, I'll back Mr. Vango each way.
Mr. Vango, yeah, as I say, blue on odds checker, a sea of blue. 25-1 still around.
That's probably dovetailed to the 17mm weather forecast. Yeah, I'd imagine that is. It's people hedging on the weather, because if it does turn up, absolutely, 3 miles 6 around there, been raining for 9 months in Cheltenham, that'll take some getting.
I reckon
they'll just run on.
That's you in your hotel room this morning, just hammering the Mr. Vango. Yeah, 25-1 best price, but you're also getting 14-1 with Skybet. Interestingly, I see both Hills, 888 Sport and Spreadex have all gone 2 places, which suggests that they think there's going to be not many. Andy?
Yeah, actually, one of my sort of strongest views on the whole card is in this final race. Mr. Vango in the race, at least he's going to ensure that we're going to get a sound gallop. Sometimes, particularly in recent years, we've had like 5-6 runner fields. They've tootled around. It suited the classier horses to come to the fore, but you know they're going to go quite quick here. So if there's any stamina frailties, which there might be in Corbett's Cross, and to a certain degree, Embassy Gardens, I think that might be found out. I think Embassy Gardens is the classiest horse in this field. I think he was in the Brown Advisory. He'd probably be up for winning that. But, you know, he's got to run an extra 3/4 of a mile. I'm a mad, mad fan here of Kilbeg King. I've talked about the Reynoldstown in another preview. But if that time figure's right, and particularly the final circuit sectionals are right, then Kilbeg King has run his absolute face off against Henry's friend. I actually think he'll turn the former Henry's friend here, because I think he's more of a dyed-in-the-wool stay, and like with a few more strides, he would have won that day. But if you go back and watch his run at Kempton in a Grade One, you take the French horse out, which is absolutely flew round and clocked like an absolute worldly time figure. He's kept tabs with Hermit, the ill-fated Hermes Allen. He jumped brilliantly under pressure. Like they've gone flat out that day on good ground, and he hasn't missed a beat. And he's now running over 3.6 miles, which should help him relax and get into a lovely rhythm. He's got Will Biddick on board. His form entitles him to be a lot closer in the market than he is. Currently 10-1. I mean, I've had a right healthy chunk on him. I'll be scratching my head with a clear round if he's not banged there, Kill Big King.
I'm frantically going to have savers on that as well. And I've forgotten he won at the Punchdown Festival last year, as I heard.
I mean, that day there was a massive field, a real strong gallop, and he bolted up. Mm. He's a big horse as well. He can look after himself. And I think the cheek pieces that he's had on for his last two runs have just helped him concentrate a little bit. So he comes off the back of two absolutely worldly novice chases. The Reynolds Town was brilliant on the numbers. The French horse, I can't remember its name.
Ile Francais.
That's the one. Who's probably going to win next year's King George. Tell me a horse in this race has got a stronger form as that. And this horse is 10-1.
10-1 with William Hill, who, as I mentioned, are just two places. So if you want the three places, you're going to have to take 9-1 there. Kilbeg King, you'd say your strongest bet on the day?
Strongest bet of the day on
strongest
that first day.
Strongest bet on the day from Andy. And that brings our day one preview to a close. Thank you very much, I should say, to the Surprise Pub in London, in Chelsea, for having us here today. Thank you very much to Johnny, to Andy and for Ed for sharing their tips, thoughts and insight over day one. We're going to record day two now, so make sure you check that out on the Odds Checker YouTube channel or as a podcast, wherever you find your podcasts as well. And download the Odds Checker app, where you can find the best prices, bookie offers, free bets and place terms, as well as Andy's tips and other tipsters straight to the app every day of racing. And make sure you enjoy day one. Hopefully some value in there, hopefully some winners as well. We'll see you with day two. But in the meantime, please do ensure that you gamble responsibly.